But here in the book of Numbers, chapter 20, there's an event that's taking place, and I want us to focus on it because it's the fact that Moses is going through a lot of trouble. He's got a lot of situations going on. And it starts off with a bad situation. His sister dies. And he's been dealing with the children of Israel. He's been dealing with their problems and their complaining and murmuring and all these things. And he's been dealing with them, and then his sister dies. And then you deal with another issue in the fact that he starts dealing with these people because they're low on water. They're back in an area where there's no water. So what do we do without water? We got to have water. What are you going to do without water? I want to tell you something, and we'll get into the text here in a second, but your approach to God really matters. The way you approach Him will make a difference as to whether you get what you ask for or not. Now, they're approaching the man of God, and they've got some issues, and they're dealing with them, but they're making statements. Have you ever made statements? You get into an argument, and I've done it. It's confession time. I'm glad she's not here to hear it. But the truth is, and she'll probably hear it eventually, the truth is, when you get to argue, and somebody says something mean to you, well, you say you have to top that and say something mean back, and back and forth, and you say things you really don't mean. And that's our nature. I'm not going to let you get the best of me. Well, what is that? That's our pride getting in the way. And so what happens is we get to saying things, and they say this, and we say that, and back and forth, and it really causes a bad situation. Remember, the proverb says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. I've seen that many times. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. Let's look at these first few verses here in Numbers chapter 20. And it says, and then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month of the people, and the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord, and why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt and bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vine, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come before you, thanking you for your many blessings. And Lord, I thank you for this event that took place that we can learn from it. Lord, I'd rather learn from somebody else's mistakes than to make them myself. And Lord, we can learn from others' mistakes so that we can protect ourselves and those around us. Lord, meet with us today. Keep this preacher from saying anything outside of your will. Lord, we need to hear from your Holy Spirit, the real preacher. So, Lord, keep me in your will and out of your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage and I think about Moses. He's having a bad day. I've never lost a brother or a sister. I've never lost I've lost my parents and my grandparents, but nobody that I've, you know, other than my parents, and that's the way things normally are supposed to go. But when you see somebody close to you that passed away, you're already in a bad mood. You're trying to deal with it. And what happens is Moses was already in a bad state. And then the congregation comes up to him. Now I want you to look at the passage. It says, verse 3, and it says, and the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Did they really want to die? I mean, all they got to do is stay back there with everybody else. Look at verse 4, and it says, and why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? Now, if you know the story, you know that they, ever since they left Egypt, they were following the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. The pillar of cloud, it's hot in the desert. You'd pray for some overcast skies sometime. So the Lord had the cloud to keep them protected from the heat. When it gets cold in the desert, guess what? You'd like to warm up to a fire. That's why you got the pillar of fire. Plus, it's a whole lot easier to see that fire at night than it would be a cloud. But who really led them? Who is it that really brought them from Egypt to the place where they were? Was it Moses and Aaron? No, it was the Lord. You know, sometimes you and I have a tendency to blame people for what God has done. And when we realize that it's God and He's working and He's doing something special, sometimes we fail to even recognize the fact that He's doing something special for us. And we get upset and say, you're doing it all wrong. He doesn't do anything wrong. He does everything perfect. Cannot be improved on. But the truth is, we don't see it that way. All we've got is this tunnel vision, and we see it our way, and it never works out. But these children of Israel, they see, hey, we're going to die here in the desert. We're going to die of thirst. There's no water here. There's no food here. Well, they've been in the desert for quite some time. They've been wandering around for a long time, and they're still doing pretty good because God had provided the manna. They didn't even have to go look for it. It was all over the ground. They had to be careful not to step on it because there was so much of it. But what they did is they're going to the man of God and saying, why did you lead us here? And they turn right around and say, what? Moses said, what? We didn't lead you here.
God did.
And then they come to Moses and say, you brought us to a place where there's no water. How is it you bringing us here where there's no water? And what we want to do is to realize where you are, no matter what your situation is, no matter what struggles you have, the Lord has allowed you to come here, to that place. Hey, you know what you and I don't see? A lot of times we don't see the blessings. Instead of looking at what we have, what God has provided, we look at what we don't have. That's what they were doing. I mean, God had provided them freedom. God had provided every step of the way. He had given them everything they needed. All the food, they gave them the water, gave them the freedom. And think about it. They weren't being led by Moses. They were being led by the Almighty Himself. How awesome would that be? I mean, Moses was not the leader. He was just the line leader, if you would, the line monitor. The children will understand that. But guess what? The teacher's the leader. And there's no greater teacher than the Lord. And so what they're seeing is the fact that they're coming to Moses and they're blaming Moses and that all these things are coming to happen to us. And this is a difficult place you've put us in, and we're going to die here. Now let me ask you this. Were they really going to die? No. But that's like I was saying, you get into an argument, you get mad, you get saying things you don't mean. Did they want to die? No. If they wanted to die, they wouldn't have said anything. They just die thirst. I mean, really? The truth is, they didn't want to die. And the truth is, they had gotten into a mode of complaining to the Lord. And they should have learned from the lessons, lesson after lesson after lesson after lesson, throughout their walk through the wilderness, that every time you complain to the Lord, guess what? Something bad's going to happen. Not because God hates you, but because you're complaining. The passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I believe it's verse 20, 19 or 20, and it says, in everything give thanks. I want you to think about that. How do you give thanks in a situation like this where you've got no water? Hey, I'm putting myself in that situation from this. I understand they're complaining. I understand their concerns. I understand that their children are crying. All these kind of things, probably stinking pretty good time because they don't have water to bathe with. And, you know, the truth is, there's a lot going on. But how much worse is it for these people that don't have our God to go to when they've got problems? They had access to the Almighty right there in their camp. And instead, they're saying, Moses, you did this, and Aaron, you did that, and none of it was true. They knew it wasn't true. But were they really going to go to the Lord and say, what are you doing? What on earth did you do to us? You brought us out. No, they're not going to do that. And they go to somebody that's completely innocent of all charges. And so I can understand a little bit of why Moses is white-headed when we see the pictures. The typical pictures of Moses, he's got white hair. And he might not have had white hair until he started leading those children of Israel. To me, it's surprising that he had any at all. But the bottom line is, Moses is He knew what to do. Moses didn't get up, didn't argue. He did exactly what he needed to do. He and Aaron went to the door of the tabernacle. They fell on their face before the Lord. Now I want you to understand something. It's really frustrating for a preacher or for a Christian. I've been doing pastoring and preaching now for 20 years or so. Been counseling people with the Bible for quite a few years before that. And when you give them clear counsel, not my wisdom, I don't give them anything I've got. Nothing I've got is going to help you. God's got it all right there in the book. And that's where you get your counsel. That's where you get your wisdom. That's where you get what you need to give to other people. But it's really frustrating when you give people counsel from the Word of God and they ignore it. Look at what Moses did. What did the Lord say? Verse 8 says, "Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth water, and thou shalt bring forth from them water, to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink." So he's supposed to take the rod. He's supposed to gather the assembly there. So he had an audience. And then he was supposed to hit or speak. He was supposed to speak to the rod. Now, hold your place here. Go to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, they needed water again before. Look at verse 5, and it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with the elders of the Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take it in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he hit the rock with the rod once before. Hey, that worked. So why wouldn't I hit it again? Number one, God told him to speak to the rock. Number two, there's a picture there that Moses messed up. You say, what on earth is that? Well, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, you'll see that that rock was actually Christ. You say, that was Christ. Hey, that's what the Bible says. I'm not going to argue with you. If you got a problem with that, hey, that's what the Bible says. That rock that followed, and by the way, the rock followed them around. Figure that out. I don't understand it. Other than a great God did it. But remember something. When Moses hit the rod on the rock in Numbers chapter 20, he disobeyed God. God told him to speak to the rock. Now, when you look at the passage, you understand, well, Moses was upset. I'll be honest with you. You're going to hit something. Hit them elders, amen? Hit those people that are causing problems. Don't hit the rock when the Lord tells you just to speak to the rock. There are times most of the time I'm smarter than that anymore as I got older, but there are times when I like to hit things. I used to, as a boy, I used to grow up and I'd get mad at mom and dad and I'd punch the block wall.
Now, I never, you wonder why my knuckles are big? You ought to see the wall. Anyway, had a little brother following in big brother's footsteps. He decided to try that. He broke his hand. But I want you to understand, there are times we all want to hit something. There was a man one time at work. He had a stuffed doll of an old man in his office. And he had the head of that man taken off, sewed up, sewed the body up, and Velcroed and put it on the top of that little man. So every time he gets really mad and he wants to hit something or throw something, he grabs that little old man and puts him up under his head, out under his arm, and jerks that head off and throws it across the room. Now, if that's the best thing you can do without hurting something, throwing something into your TV or whatever, breaking a window or whatever, that's good. But I hope we can control our temper a little better than that. But Moses was frustrated. He raised the rod, and he just wanted to hit something. But he messed up. See, that rock being Christ, that was a picture of when he hit the rock in Exodus chapter 17, that was the first time, that was the only time, and it was a picture of Jesus dying once. He's not going to keep dying and dying and dying again. He is not daily crucified like a lot of the false religions teach. He died once for all, according to Hebrews 10:10. And what I want you to understand here is Moses got frustrated, but and as great a man as he was, God says you're going to pay a price for that. Now, I've heard people say, well, Moses got to go to heaven early. I'm going to tell you something, and I can't understand what's on the other side, but I will guarantee you that sin always costs too much.
Yes, it does.
And Moses paid a price in shame. Even today, we're talking about Moses' sin because he didn't do the right thing. Now, I'm glad the Bible's not written in my life's in the Bible, amen? Because there's some things I've done wrong, too, and other people be preaching about me. Probably give them plenty to preach about, too. But the bottom line is, the truth is, we have to remember, Moses, even though as great as he was, he was still flesh, flesh and blood, just like you and I. The great things that God did with Moses, leading the children of Israel out of Egypt and all the plagues and parting the Red Sea and all the things that they did, he was still flesh, just like you and I. And so I understand his frustration. I understand him getting upset. I understand, but just remember, there's always going to be punishment when we disobey God. Always. You're not going to get away with it. If you do, then you can mock God, according to Galatians 6:7. Because the Bible says God is not mocked. It says, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you don't reap what you sow, then you have a right to mock God. The Bible gives us access to mocking God, but you're not going to be able to do it because you're not going to get away with it. Moses, as great a man as he was, he even tried to talk to the Lord and say, Lord, can we negotiate this thing? Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 3. And you know a little bit about the Apostle Paul. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. But what did Paul say? Paul said, Lord, can you remove this thorn?
Paul says he did it three different times. He asked the Lord to remove it. The Lord said no. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 3, let's start with verse 23. And it says, and I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. Look at verse 26. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. I want to tell you, Moses tried to get the Lord to move on that, but he wouldn't do it. There are times when we do something wrong, we mess up, and there's a certain punishment that's going to come with that. And remember what we said earlier, that the Lord doesn't do everything just good. He does everything perfect. It cannot be improved on. Every decision he makes, everything he has created. And as we were studying in Sunday school, even the book of Revelation, with all the plagues and the awfulness of what's going to happen during the tribulation time, everything the Lord does is right and good and perfect. He's a righteous God. That means he always does right. But he got to the point where Moses could not even get him to move on this. Moses stood, and he was the one that stood for the children of Israel. The Lord was going to squash them. And Moses stood and said, Lord, please don't. And he was the one pleading the case for the children of Israel for the Lord to spare them. Then there were times when Moses was ready to wipe them out. And the Lord said, Moses, we're not going to do that. I often wonder what it'd be like if they both got on the same page at the same time, both wanted to wipe them out at the same time. But the truth is, Moses made a mistake. You and I make mistakes. But when we realize the one thing that we hear from God, and when he tells us something, we better do it his way. Where did Moses and Aaron go to get the word of the Lord? The door of the tabernacle. You're going to get your best counsel from the word of God and from the man of God. You stay in church, you're going to have, and where the Bible's being preached, there's a lot of places that preach all kinds of stuff. This man I talked to yesterday, he didn't know anything about being born again. He thought he was all right. He had been sprinkled when he was a baby. Guess what? That's not going to get you to heaven. Even being baptized ain't going to get you to heaven. You got to be born again. Got to be saved. But when you're in the house of God, where the preaching is coming from the Word of God, and the Spirit of God can move, you're going to hear from God. Now, you may not want to. You may hear things you might not want. There are a lot of people that won't come to church because they're going to hear things they don't want to hear. But Moses went to the right place to hear from God. And that's what we need to do. When you need to hear from God, be in God's house. Get in God's word. Go where the preaching is preached. And people care. And stand for right. And do right. You and I, we're going to pay a price too if we mess up. Well, especially when you clearly know what to do and don't do it. There were times when my parents told my brother, don't do that. But I didn't hear them say it. And so I'd do that, and they'd have to give me a little bit of grace, a little bit of mercy, because I didn't know. But my brother, guess what? If he knew, he got a lot worse than I did. When you know what God wants, and you don't do it, I want you to understand, it's going to cost you more than you know. But I'm glad. What would happen if you didn't have a Bible? What would happen if you didn't have people standing there and telling you what the Bible said? There are a lot of people in this world that don't have a Bible. That's why we're taking up this offering for Bibles. To make sure that people that don't have Bibles, don't know what God says, they can get a handle on it. They can understand. There are a lot of people that need to know you and I are saved. There are times when we can just say something. When people say, oh, you're getting old. No, I'm getting closer home. I'm closer home. I'm going to have a new body one day. How are you going to get that? Oh, I get a chance to tell them, right? Hey, all kinds of ways to bring it out. People need to know. They need our Jesus. And we need to look for opportunities to share him with them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, help us as we strive to please you, as we strive to understand and discern your will. Lord, we need to hear your Holy Spirit speak, to teach us, to draw us closer to you, to keep us from making bad decisions like Moses made. What an awful thing to go to heaven in shame. To have, as you're going through the pearly gates, you have to tuck your head because you're ashamed. Lord, I pray for you just to help us to make right decisions, to do things your way, and to know that what you tell us to do, that's what we need to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.